My grandma told me, stop letting guys pick you and you get to pick the guy from now on moving forward. She's like, seriously, listen to that and do that, because what is the point of being chosen by someone when you didn't choose them? Like, giving them your attention just because they choose you. Like, no, honey, you can be just as picky as they are. Can I say something funny that I just thought of?
Yes.
You know when... This is really random, you guys. I'm so sorry.
But you know, we love starting the podcast with a random thought.
Don't even ask how this got in my head. So here we go. You know how realtors, when they're showing a house and they like, it's like, let's say it's a little bit of an older house and they're like talking about the perks of the house. And then there's like a really fucking small closet and they're just like, the closet has a little bit of character. Like, you know, when people talk about things that are negative, they just call it like character. I just started noticing that. Like, someone the other day was like, yeah, this like the house has, or my car, it's got a little character. I'm like, is that a way of saying it's kind of shitty? But like, you should kind of like it. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I started hearing it more now that I'm like a little more conscious of it.
Yeah. No, like I really want to think of an example to like share back, but my brain is still on just overdrive right now.
You go, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean, though?
No,
do you know what I'm talking about?
I mean, my car has character.
It totally does. It totally does.
We're driving here, and Ben, like, gets up to speed, and he just taps the hood of the car. He's like, good boy, good boy. Like, that thing was just trucking along the highway.
I'm not going to lie. My bug car would freaking... I'd have to pedal to the metal to get to, like, 25, and people would be, like, honking at a light. And I'm like, I'm literally going as fast as freaking bug car possible. Like, watch yourself.
Created the roundabout onto the highway thing, I want to sue them. Like, that was just not a smart idea. And like, so like, I'm just, you know, getting out at the end, just in this 2006 minivan.
Can I ask you, merging rules, when you're coming onto the highway, do you think it's rude when someone's in that lane that like you're merging into and you're not moving? Okay,
you're supposed to get over so the person can merge. Thank in you. Like it's a two-way street, literally, but
literally all I needed was to be validated. Yeah. That's it. Because I get so fucking mad and I'm like,
So you're either supposed to, that person's supposed to slow down or speed up so you can keep your speed and effortlessly just get right on in.
Yeah, glide on in. Okay, yeah, I just want to be sure. I want to make sure I was valid. And
okay, what about driving down the highway, right lane or left lane?
Okay, I usually stay in the left lane, but I know I'm supposed to be in the right.
Are you kidding
me? Okay, if
me?
I'm going fast enough, yeah.
No matter what, I will only use the left lane for passing and then I go right back to the right lane and I just try to show other cars how it's supposed to be done.
Okay.
So I'm not kidding. I will tell
Carol from the DMV.
This is what I do. This is so bad. I tailgate the shit out of the car in front of me. If they're going slow in the left lane, I get up close and personal.
Just
and
a then, bumper tap.
Yeah. And then if they don't get over, I aggressively like put my blinker on, go over, speed is like
pedal to the metal.
See, there's my words. Pedal to the metal, and then I get right back in the left lane, and then I get up to the car in front of me and try to, and they get over, and I get over, so then they see what I'm doing.
Oh, so you're like, teaching them.
Yeah, I
you
try
drive,
to
and
teach.
You're a teacher. See, I just drive. Just kidding.
And you're the person I probably tailgate. I'm
oh,
like, 100%. Get in the
but
right lane.
I'll get right over. I will. Unless you're being a jerk off and you're like mimicking. I've had a car like mimic behind me and then mimic in front of me, like almost having me rear into them. And I'm like, you're a douchebag. Like, I'll gladly flick you off. And then usually it's somebody that's just, they're angry. They just look angry. And I'm like, you know what? That's when I can calm down. Cause I'm like, ooh, bad juju. I'm going to leave that.
If you're listening to this in the car, you better be in the right lane. Please.
No, you better be flooring it. Pedal to the metal in that left lane, baby. Cruise control.
No, I remember one time though, I was, you know how you like cry when you're kind of mentally unwell about random things? Like I was having, I forget, it was when I had an anxious flare up for a couple months. It was a bad mental health moment of my life. I think this was like a year and a half ago. I will never forget this for some reason, but I was a little lost. I was trying to use my GPS and I'm like going back and forth and I couldn't figure out where I was going. And I know I was driving like a maniac because I had no idea where I was going or what I was doing. And someone flicked me off. I think I've told this before on the podcast, but I literally cried for like 45 minutes because I felt bad and I felt like that person didn't like me because they flicked me off. And I remember thinking like, yo, I need to go to therapy.
That ENU 925 license plate was just hating on you. You're going to find them though. You're going to go to the DMV and you'll find them. My friend just told me a funny story about driving and I just have to share this because he told me this yesterday when he was here. He was in town and he was so excited to go to a wedding with his girlfriend and he's in Austin. So his flight gets canceled, and it's the thing is in Ohio, I believe, is where the location was. And so they finally like switched a few flights. He got up at like 5 a.m. and flew to a neighboring city, which I have no idea what neighboring city that was, but like a state, right? Mm-hmm. And so he lands and he's like, okay, I'm going to rent a car. I'm going to drive to the wedding. And so his girlfriend texts him, okay, it's called the Indiana Inn, I believe, or something like that. Indiana Inn, I believe. Whatever. Play on words. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, it will matter later.
Oh, okay. I was so, like, wow, whoa.
I know, you're details? Like, wow, getting into the dirty. He starts driving. You know, he plugs in the GPS, starts driving. He drove to Indiana. He drove to Indiana. Yep. He literally drove to the Indiana Inn in Indiana when there was one in Ohio. And he gets
How
there.
How far out of the way?
He was 5 minutes away from the hotel when he figured it out because he saw a sign that says, Indiana, welcome to Indiana. And he was like, oh, that can't be right. And so he looked on the address. He went 2.5 hours the wrong way of a 4-hour drive. He missed the wedding. He missed the wedding. He was like in the middle of another state and he goes, I'm not going to lie. He's like, I am a man, which is toxic masculinity, but whatever. He goes, but I freaking shed a tear. He goes, I whacked that steering wheel so hard and I just started crying and he was in the car. He's like, ah. Like he said, Natasha Bedingfield was on and he was just bawling his eyes.
I would cry too. Oh, I'm like, I my can't. God.
Oh my God.
Which is Natasha's bedding or whatever song. Cause I think I'm just thinking of him like crying and like, I got a puggy, got a puggy.
No, it's the other one. What's her other one? Like, take me. Oh,
that is it.
Take me away.
Thank you.
From better days.
From better days. So I was like, oh my God.
If you got to cry, anyway, cry to Natasha Bedingfield.
Do you have a straight candid moment for me?
Yeah,
Why
do.
Why do I say for me as if you brought it for me?
Because it is for you and all the listeners.
Serve me.
Okay, so my straight candid moment this week is, so my boyfriend, Plant Daddy, if you don't know Plant Daddy, we call him Plant Daddy. His name's Pat, but he is a vegan and he is also a bodybuilder. So he has his first show coming up July. So he's actually going through lots of craziness right now, like lots of diet protocols. Mm-hmm. And his hormones are definitely a little bit off because think of women that undereat for a little bit, like your sex drive goes way down, your hormones are all over the place. You might notice with certain birth control, if your hormones are off, you don't have a sex drive. So when me and Plant Daddy met, like we were effing like rabbits. Like we were both very horny all the time. But now
I love to hear it.
I'm still on the same level. But Plant Daddy doesn't have sex drive right now because to be honest, bodybuilding is, any bodybuilder will tell you this, but it's not sustainable. It is not okay to live a life like this. Like you are depleting your body. And
absolutely.
It is not something you can do long term because yes, your sex drive, your hormones get fucked up for a while. And so he doesn't have a sex drive. So I've been having to play around with being the one to initiate because like there's no way he has the energy to, like think about initiating. So if I want to have sex, I really have to get like creative and like do what I can do to turn him on or else I won't get my needs met, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
So like it's just interesting because I'm not used to being the one who always has to initiate.
What are you doing? Like cooking now, in like a naked apron or something?
Yeah, so now I have to like really
work.
I've never had to really work for it. Like think of us as females. Like we could just be like, hey, what's up? Like give him a little wink. Like I'm horny. Literally all you have to say. But now it's like if I were to do that, he'd be like, okay, you know,
you're like, no, sorry.
But now I don't do it like that. Now I'm like, okay, I got to get creative. So, oh my gosh. But I've never just had to be the one to initiate all the time. So it's
different relationships even.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Oh, go ahead.
It's just funny.
It'll go back to normal too, which obviously once the show is done, right? But like, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And I've had it like in different relationships, the different types of like initiation styles where one relationship I did not initiate once, not in my life. Like, I mean, years, like not once did I have to initiate because it just would happen all the time. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yep.
And then another one,
here we go.
I'm like, oh, okay, all right, here we go. The other one I had to like, it's full effort, like all the time. You know what I mean? So there's a happy medium, but, but when it isn't, it's like, what the fuck? Like you're like, God damn it, what do I got
to
do?
And okay. I think we did do a podcast on how to initiate sex
we did.
And like ideas for that. So maybe we can link that in the description if you if that's something you want to listen to.
If you want to hear about it, if you got to eat it.
Yeah. Okay, what you got for me this week? Stray Again a Moment from Sid.
Wait, can I moment? Well, first of all, one is, well, I have a story from somebody else because there's karma in it, and I think it's hilarious. And the person said karma. So, but I do want to say, I went on the boat yesterday. We had a bunch of guy friends in town, and I just think it's so cool when you meet good people in later in life. Like, and I know I'm saying like post-college later in life, because everyone thinks like all your good friends come from middle school, high school, college, and probably maybe like your work, right? I met these buddies that I have now through another friend, and literally we wouldn't have met if we wouldn't have gone on our one of our guy friends' birthday parties. Like, so random, right? But they are some of our best guy friends now. They were here, and we just went on the lake yesterday, and we drove around, and we were playing Natasha Bedingfield, Take Me Away, and, you know, Pocket Full of Sunshine, and we were just zooming on the lake, and I literally sat there, and I was like, this is the happiest I've been in a long time.
Oh,
like,
I
do you know what
that.
I mean? Like, the sun was on my skin. I had a little claw in my hand, which I wasn't really sipping, if I'm being totally honest. And I'm singing
that's
along
good.
To
that's
Natasha
awesome
Bedingfield.
That's awesome to share, actually. Yeah, because,
I was just totally just holding it. And I had just swam, and I was just like, this is happiness right here. Mm-hmm. And it just felt, it was like a good moment for like the first time in a long time.
You want to know what's cool is what? Music can bring you back to like moments. Yeah. And now I bet when you hear that song, you'll think of that moment.
I think I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also music just like amplifies certain feelings. Absolutely. So like music is so, so important. It's funny that you just share this, because at the wedding this past weekend, there was a moment on the dance floor where everyone, like, music just brings people together.
Oh,
like,
it totally
I love
does.
Concerts. I love just like a good ass song when everyone is just feeling it together. And like, there's something about that. Oh,
doesn't it
so
feel good?
Yeah.
I will say I felt like an absolute turd when we were at the country concert, and everyone's singing all the songs that they all know super, super well. They've grown up listening to, they're all wearing cowboy boots. And I'm just like, I was like, yeah. And then they turn around and they point at you, and they're like,
and you're just like, yeah, mouthing ABCs. You're like, ABC.
Well, they're like, they turn around, they point at you, and they're like, come on, singing the song. And you're like, yay.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cringe. I cringe.
It's the best feeling and the best community feeling, unless you don't know the music.
Unless you don't, which I didn't. Yeah. I knew like Springsteen
go,
and like.
I'll be honest. I don't go to concerts unless I know the music, because I won't enjoy
it.
It
is risky. I will tell you. I made a fool of myself.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a lot.
Even if I have to go to let's say everyone's like, oh my gosh, let's go to this concert next month.
Yeah.
And I want to go. I will make sure I know the music, because I will not enjoy the concert unless I can't. If I can't sing, count me out.
It's like literally like an exam you have to study for. Like, you're like, okay, let's look up like Eric Church. Like, okay, looks like this was two of his good albums. Like, top songs, I've got those. Like, I literally had to do that for the prep, and I didn't do well enough. So I got an F. Okay?
Lyrics pulled up, hands on my knees, shake your ass like a thought bitch.
Twerk, 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 Doja Cat. I have one Stray Kid moment that my friend sent me, and I have to read this because
Wait,
hilarious.
This is a listener moment? After all this time we were searching for a listener moment, and you could have shared this with me? I literally spent an hour searching for a listener moment before this, and Sid's like, oh, by the way, I have this great moment to share from a friend who listens to the podcast.
Okay, it's a little different. I'll read it. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Okay, here we go. My friend goes, I have a straight cannon moment for you I think you're gonna like. She goes, I was just eating my walleye wrap from yesterday.
I hate you.
Sorry. And when I finished eating it, I could feel something stuck in the back of my throat. I knew it was probably a bone, so I tried super hard to cough.
Did you say walleye wrap?
A walleye wrap from Fletcher's.
What the actual?
So get ready, okay? It was stuck in the back of my throat. I knew it was probably a bone, so I tried to super hard cough and make it come back up. My parents were in the kitchen and were so concerned because I kept coughing over and over again in pain. I finally took a flashlight and shoved it down my throat to see if I could see where it was. Turns out it was a bone lodged into one of my tonsils. Oh. I took a tweezers and tried pulling it out myself, but it kept making me gag and I almost threw up. So my dad had to take over and we pulled it out. He said it was lodged 3/4 of the way in. Long story short, that's kind of my karma for not splitting the wrap with you, honestly, yesterday, and Def staying away from fish for a bit.
I'll tell you where she went wrong. Ordering a fucking walleye wrap. I've never heard of this. I love walleye, but a walleye wrap?
Oh my God.
What?
It's a thing.
Why not just eat the walleye nugs? I mean, buy that shit and dip it in that tartar. While
it's
I
a
wrap,
thing, it's a thing at Fletcher's. Is I don't it good? Know why. I mean, no, I get the chicken. I get a little afraid. Fish kind of scares me sometimes.
I love fish, but at the,
I know.
Have seasoned sour cream at Fletcher's.
Oh,
right?
I know. Yeah, but not nothing like Maynard's. No offense.
Okay.
Sure. But anyway, she literally, we were supposed to split a wrap. That's why it's funny. And I was like, I don't really like walleye. And she's like, well, let's just not split it. She's like, I'm going to eat the whole thing. Sorry. And she didn't. So she took half home. And the half that she took home, that would have been my half.
She got a sucker.
She literally had a bone this long in her tonsil.
Ow. Ugh. I always get, because I have popcorn. If you guys know me, you know I love popcorn on the stove.
Oh, yeah. With
stovetop
coconut oil.
Popcorn. You put a little coconut oil in the pan. I've been doing avocado oil. It's supposed to be a little bit better for you. So I do avocado oil, okay. Bottom of the pan. We got some kernels. We got some sea salt. You pop that shit. White kernels only. White kernels will change your life. Little ghee butter at the end. Little sea salt. Okay. Just want to give
what?
Little sea salt.
Little ghee butter?
Ghee butter.
Ghee butter. Okay.
Ghee butter. Clarified butter. Okay. It's just a little better for you and, healthy fats. Good.
I should probably go get that.
Anyways,
I eat the other kind a lot.
I was going to just share the fact that kernels get stuck in my throat, but who doesn't love a recipe?
You're like,
kernels always get stuck in my throat. So I walk around and I'm like,
okay. Something just flew out of your mouth when you did that.
Really?
Yes. I don't know what it was.
A little hock.
I was like, whoa.
Honestly, it was a little hockaloogie because I'm having a little allergies.
If it's not allergies, get away from me. You might have something else.
I still haven't had COVID.
I don't believe it. I think you get a test and you no.
I haven't either.
I'm just
what?
Do you bite?
Shut
hey,
up, you
do you
two.
Do you bite your nails?
Yeah.
Same.
That's
we just have crazy ass immune systems.
You think
systems.
That's why?
Yeah.
No.
Our immune systems, we deal with germs on the daily through sucking on our fingers.
Oh, that's scary.
So
I didn't say sucking on my fingers, but
anywho,
Ben, do you have a straight kid moment?
I do, but we're already like 16 minutes in.
Oh, we are?
That's okay.
Okay.
Tell your straight kid.
We're purposely trying to like
keep it rolling. Okay. Yeah. So Wednesday night last week, I was drinking.
All right, that's enough.
Just
we're like,
and
shut up.
Anyways, no, Wednesday night, drinking with some friends. One of my friends was like making fun of me because I was like, yeah, like I haven't really been focused on dating. He's like, just say you can't get dates. And I was like, kind of drunk. I was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm downloading Tinder. So
you could get dates if you wanted.
I was like, it was, he was joking, but like drunk me was like taking it very seriously. I was like, how dare you?
Watch this. I'll get one tonight.
And so I download Tinder, get home, start swiping. Not that I blacked out, but like barcoded. Don't really like remember. Like, I think it was just primal scrolling, like hot, not kind of thing. Yeah. And I was like, I wake up the next morning and later we go to the Twins game and I meet a bunch of new people, bunch of new girls, like
mingling.
Bunch of new guys. And we're sitting there and it just like comes up. Me and my friends like take this girl's phone who we just met and we're scrolling through her Tinder for her. And it's like me, my buddy's girlfriend, and then another girl that like I plays on our kickball team.
Yeah.
And so we're scrolling and then they come across my Tinder profile.
Shut up.
And I was like, oh shit. And then,
I forgot.
Hey, it got great reviews from them.
Okay, good. Right?
But then they're like, fuck it. We're going to like this random girl we just met today. Fuck it. We're just going to like swipe right on this. Swipe right. It's a match. Apparently the night before I came across her Tinder.
And you didn't even know.
Oh, and you didn't know.
Zero clue.
So I was, are you messaging now?
No, it was like the most awkward encounter ever. It's like if somebody had put me on a pedestal and been like swipe right or left, and then they didn't even swipe. It was like their friends for them. And so we kind of had this like really awkward interaction of like, yeah, like.
Oh, because she was sitting there with you on her phone.
She was literally like right there. Yeah.
Oh, so what do you do?
It was probably
swipe right. I think you're both like, oh, well, did you like kind of make a joke? And you're like, okay, well, I guess we're both hot. Like,
well, I made a joke because, and this is why I don't remember it. Why I'm like, how did I do this? She had in her bio. She's like, you can't be shorter than 5'10". I'm not.
She had that in her bio.
Yeah, she had that in her bio.
Okay, so we should probably help her with her Tinder, but okay.
I mean, a lot of girls have that.
Yeah, really? A lot of girls have that preference, but you don't openly put that on your profile.
Also, exactly. Talk about hating on somebody before you even know anything about them. Like, geez.
Totally. I like my brain, if I ever see the girl, no matter how hot they are, if they have something like that, even if it's like
immediate,
my height,
no.
Just gone. And so I'm just like, you know what? I kind of like.
Also, that could defer her from tall guys too, because tall guys, if they see that, it's like, okay, shallow. Just saying.
Seriously.
Continue though.
Very true. Very true. Shout out Short Kings out there.
Short Kings.
But yeah, just long story short, I just called her out on it. I was like, what about that? Like, that's not very attractive. And like, she'd already done something that during the game too, that was like, very unattractive to me. So I was just kind of like, I'm not really trying for this. But it was awkward. It was like I don't really get awkward that often, but I was like kind of cringing. I was like, oh.
Now I'm getting the cringe vibes now. Yeah. Especially after she did something cringy.
I haven't seen cringed Ben before.
Like cringed out Ben, or yeah. He did something cringy?
No, like I haven't seen him be cringed before. Oh. Like
I have, I actually, know. I think.
I you can
have.
Be.
I feel like you get like.
He's like,
you
I'm
get
cringing like, oh, now.
You get like very like, well, I feel like you get like kind of like stiff. You know what I mean? If you get like a little cringe, you're like looking at someone. Because I think somebody did something weird when we were out. I don't know what day that was. And you were just kind of like, oh, well. It was really awkward. We're all like, okay, that was cringy.
If I can't spin a situation to be funny, then I'm just super awkward about it sometimes.
I like that.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing, Benny Boo Boo. The little Starby snicker in the back. That's
Can I tell
like
you something?
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed.
Why?
I used the restroom at lunch. I don't think I flushed, and Jordan just sent me a photo of the toilet.
No.
Yes,
I was like, why are you checking your phone? Let me see.
You Dude. Can barely see it. It's just a photo of the toilet, and I can see. Don't go into it, please. I don't want to see it up close.
Sid.
Don't go into it, please. Oh!
Wait, what did he say?
I don't know. I think he talked about something else.
We won't read it out loud.
He's mad at me because I always forget. Oh, God.
What does it say?
Oh, that he's talking about something else, too. It's just natural, but I'm so uncomfy.
I can't wait. How do you forget to flush?
I don't know. I just get up and I'm in the middle of something and I think of something. It's called ADHD. I just can't help it. I just get up and go.
I am shocked, but Sid, thank you for not holding back in
You're
this
so
podcast.
Welcome. It's just
I think everyone listening needs to message Sid right now and say thank you because y'all, we expose ourselves for you.
We fucking
like,
do.
We do. And you know what? Y'all also do crazy shit that you don't want anyone to know about, but here we are making you feel more human. So thank you, Sid.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you more.
And Jordan, it's you go flush it.
Yeah.
All right.
Idiot.
Just kidding. Oh, that is so
I'm like
funny.
The hillbilly. I'm like, idiot.
That was cringe.
Anyway, okay. You guys, what are we talking about today? We have a few really good topics, and it's going to be fun in the sun, okay? We're talking about the hoe phase. We're talking about thriving being single, and we're talking about
unrealistic dating expectations.
Yeah, what she said. Anyway, she said. But we're going to start with hoe phase and just like the importance of, oh my God, I can't talk either. The importance of a hoe phase, thriving while you're single. Like, what does that look like? Why do we do it? All the things.
And I think we have mentioned briefly in another episode where like we need to make a whole episode on the importance of being single and how that is for your growth. So we're like, let's make a whole episode dedicated to this just because we do still have listeners write in and are like, okay, like y'all are both in relationships now, but like I'm single and I keep searching and searching and I can't find anyone. And how can I just be happy being single?
Well, let me tell you, if you're searching right now, you're not doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You cannot go outward looking for someone because it's never going to come. Because when you're looking for someone, your attention is so laser focused on one need of yours that you're going to miss all the things going by you. You might miss people that you should have engaged with because you're like, nope, they wouldn't usually be my type. I'm going for one specific thing. You close the door off to all these little people that are over here. And you wouldn't even know that.
Exactly.
You wouldn't even know that.
You wouldn't even.
I said it like that too. I'm like, what the heck?
You wouldn't even know that.
Yeah. Ayo.
So let's talk about this hoe phase.
Yeah.
Sid, how would you define a hoe phase? Have you had a hoe phase?
Well, the interesting thing is like a hoe phase is like kind of like a hookup phase, right? Or like, are they different?
That's what I was going to ask you actually. I have written down, I say.
Oh, seriously?
Hookup phase, hookup culture versus hoe phase. Is it the same thing?
I think hookup culture implies that you're hooking up with people, right? Yeah. Like, right? You're hooking up with people. I think hoe phase can mean like you are literally just out there flirting at the bar. Maybe you're talking to multiple people at the same time. Maybe you never end up going home with anyone at all. Like, I truly think that can be a hoe phase.
I like that definition.
Yeah.
Tell me about your hoe phase and if you've had one and maybe what you learned about it. About yourself.
Let me just tell you. I personally prioritize things, I think, a little bit incorrectly. I was prioritizing going out more than anything else. I was prioritizing my single friends, which I think actually ended up helping me. And then half or, you know, a third of the time I was with my girlfriends that I, you know, were in relationships, and I was nurturing those relationships, which are obviously just as important, if not more.
That's but thriving single.
It was the thriving for sure. But I think I prioritized my relationships with like hockey players and different things like that, because that was like the what's it called? When the exciting, the like, you know, like itching for something to do, like
they kept you on the edge. They made you work for it a little bit and you felt validated.
Yeah. And it was risky kind of. Yeah. So like when I did that, I was talking to multiple people. I would go on like boats a lot. I would like outright ask people like, hey, yo, can we go on your boat or whatever today? Yeah. Me and my girlfriends, like whatever, like run around Big Island. Like, yeah, we mean, I just did whatever the hell I wanted. And guess what? I needed that. Mm-hmm. I needed that because I met a lot of people along the way and I made dumb makeouts. I wasn't really a big hookup person, but like I would talk to
people. Making out during your hoe phase is so underrated. Makeouts over sex, absolutely. There's no consequences, but you still get the little fun stuff. And yeah, okay,
it's fun.
Keep going though.
And I like talk to like older guys and like guys around my age. I don't go younger. I apologize. Who am I apologizing to? I have no idea. I'm dating an old man. And I just like enjoy.
You're apologizing to the young boy. The young boys that want to just.
The young boy out there.
Kiss you up and
down. Love you though. No, but, but I just enjoyed all the different age groups and like the differences in them. Like lifestyle differences, you know what I mean? Like one would have like a home and a car and one like kind of downtown
wife.
And was anyway, so yeah, and you're just moving on in life.
You
and
think I'm kidding?
That's a story for another time. On accident, don't worry, that was not known. Anyway, but we're going about our whole phase and it's just I just lived. Yeah. I talked to people. I went on a lot of dates. I think I exhausted myself though. That was my only regret, is I exhausted myself, went on way too many dates. Like, and the sucky part was I think I got so into my free vibe that the time that I wanted to like kind of switch over to like, okay, I think I'm going to get more serious about maybe like seeing somebody that I had interest in, I was still giving off this like flirty, overly friendly, like vibe to guys that I was quote unquote networking with, and then they would interpret it as a date and like either try to kiss me at the end or like give me a really weird hug or touch my leg, and I was like, oh shit, I did not give you the right juju for this one. Like this is not a date. So long story short, I enjoyed my whole phase, but whole phase again doesn't mean hooking up with people. It can just mean enjoying yourself in whatever term that means and having confidence in you.
I love that.
How about you?
I love that.
Do you?
Oh, I feel like, was I part of the end of your whole phase?
Yes.
Okay. When I met you.
I was trying to transition over.
You were transit. Yeah, yeah. Because then you met Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay, cute.
And right when I met Jordan, I was like,
yeah.
And literally, I will tell you this. My friends were like, you found like a good one, like a match for you in a way. They're like, something's different about this one. And I was telling them how he treated me. And they're like, drop everyone that you're talking to. They go, drop them now. And I go, I know, but it's really hard. And they go, drop them now or you'll fuck it up. And I was like, all right, I'm listening. I'm on it.
Well,
and I did it.
That's the important about a hoe phase, is like, it's kind of like the I don't give a fuck mentality for a little bit. You're dating more than one person just because you're trying to figure out what you like. So then let's say you had five guys on your roster, right? Maybe you're not having sex with all them, but you're talking to all them.
No,
casual. You meet Jordan. So then you're getting to know Jordan. You're still maybe entertaining the other guys. Jordan's also like, okay, this girl seems busy. Like, I wonder if I'm the only one she's talking to. He gets the energy from you that you're like very confident and that you don't need him. So then he drives in a little harder towards you because he's like, I kind of want her. So then all of a sudden now you're like, okay, Jordan's the one I want to go for. So then you drop the other four guys and then bow chicka wow wow, it's a match made in heaven.
Bow chicka wow wow.
So that's kind of how you like maneuver that.
You do. But I will say, when I met Jordan, I was so ready. And I wasn't ready knowingly. I was like,
yeah, that's
it was
the thing.
Weird. It was like I wasn't waiting for it. It just kind of happened. I was like, no, thanks. Nope, I'm still kind of closed off. But it was like the energy that he gave in to put into me when I wasn't paying attention that excited me to leave a hoe phase, because then it didn't make it worth it at all. I didn't want to be talking to anybody else. I didn't want to be doing anything with anybody else ever.
I think that's an important point too, because you're not necessarily like, even if you say, okay, well, I'm ready for a relationship. Guess what? Too bad. You might not meet the right person.
Correct.
So I think being in that single thriving hoe phase, I love how we're saying hoe phase, like it's so like professional, but
yeah,
like it's in this hoe phase,
but
it is important to be in that phase because then you're not searching for that person, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. My hoe phase.
I was going to say, go to yours.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. There's so many
curious.
Good points. I could like keep going on.
I'm like at the edge of my seat.
I know. It's so good.
I'll sit back.
No, I mean with your story, I was like, oh, this is perfect. But, yeah, my whole phase, I mentioned previously, like I loved Snapchat, still love Snapchat. Now my only friend says Patty, Plant Daddy. and Vanessa. But
sorry, I don't snap you, by the way. I love you though.
Yeah, you don't ever snap me back. Do you ever open them? Do you open them?
They actually open themselves because I wait too long.
So you don't see them?
Sometimes. No, I see yours. Sometimes. But in our group chat, for some reason, they'll open themselves after 24 hours. So if I don't get to it in a day, it deletes.
I don't think that's right.
Swear. I'll show.
Okay.
Okay.
Swear. I'll show.
I'll show. Ayo. I don't know why I'm talking in like a rhyme today. Okay.
But okay. Hoface, I did exactly what you were doing. I always had like 3 to 4 guys I was talking to. Mm-hmm. I would only ever have like one like physical connection with someone, mm-hmm. though, because I am someone who like, I love cuddles. I love sex. Like, yeah. I just wanted to always have like their like an company, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember like just a story that I have about my hoe phase is like, I remember for my birthday one year, I had it was Valentine's Day, but I remember sending a Snapchat to my girlfriends because I got 4 bouquets of flowers.
Who the hell are you? That's not normal.
No, it is not normal, but I played like 4 guys at one time and they were all very serious about me. And I was like, ooh. So
straight flexing.
It is a straight flex, but it's like also at the same time, it's like no one was worth the time yet. So, you know,
and you listen to you.
And I listened to me. And yeah. So I learned a lot from my hoe phase because, yes, it is important to like, it's again, doesn't mean you're having sex, but like dating people that you maybe wouldn't necessarily go for and figuring out what you like and what don't you like.
I was just going to say, you know, how all these guys are like sending you stuff and whatever. But the interesting thing was that you didn't play into any of them because you weren't ready.
Yeah.
And that's just because guys were giving you attention. Guys were giving you love. It was appealing, sort of, right? You didn't move into a relationship because it's on your time.
Yeah.
My thing
and
that my grandma told me.
My preference.
Exactly. My grandma told me, stop letting guys pick you and you get to pick the guy from now on moving forward. She's like, seriously, listen to that and do that. Because what is the point of being chosen by someone when you didn't choose them, like giving them your attention just because they choose you? Like, no, honey, you can be just as picky as they are. Like, just because
like,
they're
why would
you
be friends with someone who doesn't want to be friends with you?
Exactly.
Why?
No, it's stupid. It's like,
it's dumb. And
think of
yeah,
it as a friendship.
Like it was a lot of validation, a lot of gifts. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like, you're not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just knew immediately when I met Plant Daddy, I was like, I'll date him. First date, I was like, oh yeah, we're going to date.
You just kind of know it, yeah, when it comes along and you're never looking for it. Remember?
No,
you weren't looking for it at all.
I purposely was like, I'm not going to do anything. I didn't even want to play any guys. I didn't want a little bit of a hoe phase. I was really focusing on like finances. And I was like, okay, I'll just go on one date and whatever.
I think the reason I like grabbed my hoe phase by the horns and like needed it so bad was twofold. One, I needed to be okay without anybody else. Like, I needed to know that I was okay on my own because I had put all my eggs in a basket of a relationship and I did it way too fast and I got really fucked over and it ended up biting me in the butt and I was absolutely heartbroken, destroyed when I left it because he was my end all be all, my everything, my life, my obsession, I let go of friendships and things like that. And I was like, I am never doing that again. I'm never wrongly prioritizing things so poorly, which I think a lot of people can relate to. The other thing that I needed it for, which I bet you can relate on this too, is I was using my hoe phase to get over someone and that person that broke my heart. It is completely and totally normal to use that time being single and not be like, woo, I love being single. It's so fun to have my heart broken and just be like free now and not in a relationship. Like, I was using it totally to get like over somebody in my ex. And you can do that.
I was going to say, I think that's totally fine as long as, I mean, usually
I wasn't hurting anybody. Yeah, I wasn't leading anyone on it.
Exactly.
Say that. Yeah.
And I know that like, you know, scripts have been flipped a lot. So like girls might be listening and you're like, well, guys do this all the time and it's not fair because like I actually wanted something and they didn't. Mm-hmm. I will say with all the guys I was seeing, I was very transparent about like,
yes,
I'm not looking for anything.
Yes.
No matter who I date, I always say I'm not looking for anything like right away because one, I'm not, and mm-hmm, I genuinely am not, unless they're the right person. But two, it's just like you have to communicate. And I think that is just so, so important because as long as you're being honest from the get-go,
it
shouldn't really matter.
Well, because
yeah,
I was like, I'm not looking for anything. I just got out of a long relationship and I got really hurt. I'm still wreaking the havoc of that. this is really, really fun to like run around and like, sure, we can go on a boat and as a group or whatever.
That's when they get more obsessed and send you flowers because they're like, game on, you know?
They want a game. They want a game. Watch out for the games.
Also having that kind of like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it because I'm happy single. I'm doing me. I want to go talk to that guy. You like take more risks,
yes,
I think.
Good point.
And you develop like this self-confidence. Like all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Like I'm kind of a boss bitch. And you have to feel that way and think that way and be comfortable with yourself when you're in this whole phase because you learn so much about yourself and get more comfortable with yourself. And that kind of, I think, transitions into thriving single.
Oh my God, of course. And what did I say? Like stop thinking about the person that maybe feels prettier than you, feels more attractive, is taller, has bigger boobs, like all the things. If you're a guy, like height or like better hair or whatever it is, gets more attention.
Someone's always hotter than you.
Energy is everything. Confidence is everything though. Like we said, it's not the hottest girl in the room or guy in the room that gets the most attention. It's the most confident and sometimes the louder or like more charismatic person in the room.
Yeah,
I truly believe that.
And
not
it doesn't
loud,
have to be loud. It could be like the way you walk in, like this, instead of like looking at your shoes, you like look up and you scan the room with confidence. Like sometimes when you walk into a room, like a lot of people try to avoid eye contact with everyone. Mm-hmm. Walk in there and literally make eye contact with every single person, head up high. And it's like, damn, she knows what's up.
Yeah. I love this. I just think like, okay, here's the thing is like, I am in a relationship right now. So who am I to like talk about like being single? I was single for a while before this, many years, right? Like, and I will say that for a while I was just single. Like, I think there's two things. Like, I was just single. Like, I was mopey, which is fine.
Passively single.
I was like, I don't think I'm gonna find a relationship. I don't, talking myself down, being a mope. And that's okay. I was getting over something and I needed to move forward. But I think you can choose the type of single that you're in and the type of single you wanna be. And that's when you put it to work. You can wish for a relationship all you want, but that effort that you're wishing in a relationship, you're not getting any better. You're not like going out there meeting new people. You're not practicing dating. Practice makes, what is it called? Not permanent.
Perfect?
No. Oh, it is. I was saying it right. Practice make permanent, not perfection. That's what it was.
Ooh, I
was
like that.
Yeah, it's just like practice more. Like you can't get good at something if you're not doing it. You can't get good at being confident if you're not practicing it.
Yeah.
Or going on dates or having better friendships.
And actually have to go into that though, not expecting something out of it.
Yes.
That's the issue. So like, if you don't want to date right now, like I totally understand. Like for me, I was like, that takes too much time. Like fine, I'll get a 20 minute coffee with you. Or what I would do a lot is it had to be like a double whammy. Like I like to work out. So like, okay, sure. If you want to go on a date with me, let's go hit the gym together.
Yeah.
Like
make it convenient
like
for you.
Make it convenient for me. Sorry.
Ooh.
And, but okay. So yes, about thriving single, I think just as important as like putting yourself out there and figuring out who you like, it has a lot to do with like you and yourself and making sure you're prioritizing yourself. So
absolutely,
there's nothing better than being single, to be completely honest. Like you're more open to things that are thrown at you. Like if you get offered a job in a different state, take it. If you get offered, like you don't have to say no to things. There's not someone else to take into account. So this is your time to kind of live selfishly and learn about yourself and self-care.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance to figure out what you want in life. You learn to enjoy your own company.
Absolutely.
And I think your confidence does skyrocket because sometimes I feel like confidence comes from, for a lot of females and people in relationships, that confidence comes from your partner validating you. And when you're single, you're validating yourself. You're your own hype woman. Like you are the one that day in, day out, at the end of the night, you got yourself. And so like you learn to like, love yourself, love your body, love who you are because you have to. It's all you have.
Oh my God, I love that. It is so true because it is about you and not somebody else being like, you're so pretty, and you being like, that validated my happiness. Yeah. Now I'm happy today because he complimented me. Like,
oh, he thinks I'm sexy. Like, no, I think I'm sexy.
I get to decide. Like, I feel good tonight when I'm going out, or like, I don't feel like good tonight going out, but I don't really care because I'm not looking for anything and whatever. I will throw out there, your hoe's phase can just be you being a boss hoe, like getting good at something, doing something better for you, starting the habit, going on the solo trip that you wanted to fucking go on because you've said you were going to do it all this time, but little Johnny, who you were dating, wouldn't let you go on the whole trip.
Johnny.
Okay. That's all I got to say about that.
But yeah, I mean, I even think like the best relationships come from when you have a good understanding of yourself in the first place.
You have to know who you are in order to invite somebody in. I've ruined relationships because I didn't know who it was and I was insecure.
Yeah.
Totally. Completely
and
ruined them.
Part of that is like trial and error. Like we've all had relationships where like, think of your high school relationships. LOL. Like the people I dated in high school. Oh gosh, I did not know who I was.
I was something. I was curious for sure.
I dated like the cool soccer captain because he was like, I was like, oh my gosh.
I dated the hockey captain.
Oh, I just wanted to date him so bad. He was so cute. And I remember being so nervous and like worried about how I looked all the time. And like I had my first kiss with him and it was, oh wow.
You guys, I remembered something about high school that like shocked me and like made me feel horrible. Was the soccer guy older?
No, we were in the same age.
Okay. I was assuming
but
older.
I had the
I don't know
biggest
why.
I was a little too like inexperienced, like didn't hit puberty to date older. So like senior years when I finally was like I didn't really have like my first makeout. Like I didn't have any sexual needs until senior year.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't get my period till senior year. So I was like, what's sex?
I got my period so early, so I think that's why. Yeah. But I remember I was dating the older like guy and I had for the first time ever like blowjob. Ah, scary. And anyway,
oh my God, I have such
listen
a
to this.
Story.
This is horrendous. This is disturbing. So you're dating the older guy, like you're like, and I was like still very like kind of quiet, like whatever. But we were like dating for a long time, like
and
a year.
And you gotta give a blowjob.
No, listen,
just
listen.
Think of little sit.
Don't think of these things. I just meant that I came to school and he had told a friend. He goes, I heard you gave a blowjob, and I was like,
wait, what?
He's like, I heard about the other night. And I was like, what? And he was like, I heard what you did.
Wait, your boyfriend said
no,
this?
No, my boyfriend's friend who is a douchebag.
Ew.
And I was like, oh, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was horrified. Like, I was horrified.
That because someone else knew that you
yes, because
your
that's so
pee.
Private.
Yeah.
So private, so cringe because I just didn't know like anything.
And you let your boyfriend, and you probably didn't tell your boyfriend that you felt uncomfortable with him telling his friend.
No.
Like, yeah.
No. And he was like older. And so it was just awkward. It was just terrible. Ugh. Ugh. I hated that.
I have such a funny blowjob story, but I think I'm going to save it.
Save it because that'll be good. I can just start to tell.
Maybe I could be like a straight hand moment one time.
I can't wait for that.
Oh, it was my first blowjob too. Wait,
really?
Yeah. No, I mean the story that comes from it, but.
Spooky. Ooh, I can't think of
at
that.
At the end of the day, you guys, the best relationships happen when you have a good understanding of your needs, your wants, and your values.
I like that.
Right?
I do want to touch on something before we head on out of here. Unrealistic dating expectations.
Oh, yeah. To the next topic. We ain't leaving you yet.
Don't worry. Your ears are ready for
so, speaking of like dating, obviously, you're going to be going these dates and maybe you are looking for something you know, other than being single, which is okay, but don't.
I think we always are kind of looking on accident, right?
Yeah. Having these unrealistic dating expectations do kind of ruin your dating life.
Oh, they do a lot.
And modern dating is tough, but like having these expectations make it a lot tougher.
I listened to a podcast before this and Sydney Lesson. I know. And I had, there was a woman talking and there's three types of unrealistic expectation-ers.
Okay, let's hear
what I'm talking about.
No.
Okay.
But I love that you listen to a podcast for this.
Thank you. I'm going to read them and I'll be very brief, but these are interesting because I relate to one and I'd love to see if you guys relate to one too. Okay. All right. So there's the romanticizer. Let's start over. Romanticizer. They love love. They care about how they met this person, like the story that goes along with it. They don't usually like dating apps because they're not like romantic, right? They're obsessive on the topic and idea of soulmates. Like I'm going to have a soulmate. It's like, this one is not me. I'll give you that one away. So focused on the meeting and like what it actually looks like that they're closed off to other people if the like exact moment isn't perfect, right? Okay. See what I mean? So then the rough patches like that they go through, they'll immediately be like, nope, like, if it was the right relationship, this would be easy peasy and it would be perfect. And they leave the relationship right away. So it's kind of like in the movies, like they're just like unrealistic. Like everything falls into play. It's perfect.
Fucking rom-coms when I'm done watching it, I'm like,
oh, like,
is that what love is? And I get so sad.
I can just see you being like,
yeah, when
eating
I was
eating your popcorn.
Oh, I was always fine being single. Literally loved being single until I would watch the rom-coms or any romantic movie. I'd be like, I want that so bad. Okay.
Looking at your mouth, I'm like, I could just picture you like alone watching your TV in your basement.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
little sad girl.
I cry a lot with romantic movies.
I feel like you do.
Yeah, I'm getting teary-eyed like thinking about
don't
it.
Don't think
what?
About it, please.
Just because I love Plant Daddy so much.
Oh, you little cuties. Oh, I was like, aw. Okay, So there's the romanticizer. Now there's, stop it. There's the maximizer. Okay, so this one is unrealistic expectations
this is you, I
of
feel like.
Their partner. Whoa.
I
just got read right like away. A book. You'll see. Okay, so this one's like, I like my girlfriend, but I wish she was this. I wish they did this a little bit better. I wish they were better cook. Like, it kind of is like a flag to them. The idea that they just have to keep dating to find someone, like something will emerge instead of like building a relationship and like making it better with someone. They keep swiping. They always are looking. They don't understand that no one is perfect. They just keep rejecting people versus building that relationship up and working on it. Do we feel like immature people do this a ton? I personally do. Like, I mean, like, I feel like that's like a, what's it called? Characteristic of a younger person.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I think generally. This might be me. So let me hear the third one.
Okay. And then the third one is hesitator. So this person is unrealistic expectations of themselves. They will, okay. So they usually say like, I will be ready to date when I lose weight or when I get a better job or when I look better, like all these other things. Like I wouldn't want to meet my soulmate before I was ready and better. And I better go work on myself.
Oh my gosh. So I've met so like, literally I'm thinking of 90% of my friends with that one.
That's what's interesting about this one. So it says you can't get better at dating without practicing going on dates is like what I wrote after this. So like I said, it takes a long time to know who you'd actually like to date. Like no one's 100% ready ever. Like that's, ever.
I love, so wait, so the last one was called what?
That one is the hesitator.
Hesitator. Mm-hmm. Oh, just because I'm a personal trainer and I deal with clients that always are wanting to lose weight, I feel like a lot of validation comes from, I'm going to do this when I'm 10 pounds, I'll take those photos when I'm 10 pounds lighter. I'll go on this date when I'm 10 pounds lighter.
When I feel a little when more ripped, when I a little more toned, when I have a little more weight on me, a little less weight on me. Mm-hmm. Like,
do it now. I'll tell you. Even
we've been like crying to this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, I've been like, oh, well, I don't want to take the fitness photos yet. I like need to get more toned, I think, or something. Like I didn't eat that good this week. I'll do it on a week that I eat better and like, maybe I'll look better.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking do it. Like, also, you can't get better at something without trying. Like what I was saying earlier, like, you're not going to get perfect at like working out if you don't work out. You're not going to get good at dating if you don't date, like, mm-hmm. if you don't put yourself out there.
So I like these three because it has a lot to do with, yes, like, if you're single and you're dating and you're like, okay, like, I expect them to do this. This is my criteria. But it also, I think, in relationship, you can still have these embedded in your relationship. And I think maybe you're not all of one, but you're, like, a few of, like, a little bit of each, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you kind of listen to that and you heard yourself within those descriptions, like, I guess the first step is kind of being aware of it.
Totally.
But, yeah, I mean, and I do think it's okay to have requirements for a potential partner, like, but it all does come down to, like, at the end of the day, like, fundamental needs, like, respect and kindness.
So 100%.
Like, base it off of that, and you can always grow together and learn about each other. But I don't think you can have, like, they need to be this tall on my Tinder, because you never even know who you're gonna like if you've always had a certain list.
I have a hot take one.
Let's hear it.
It's a candid take on this. People with divorced parents actually are lucky because they get to see the messed up, quote unquote, relationship, right? That failed right in front of them, instead of the societal view that like someone is damaged when their parents have been divorced or different things like that. Because I have talked to people who are dating other people and they're like, well, but his parents are divorced. First of all, my parents are divorced. And I think that actually is a tool for me to make a strong relationship and maybe not repeat the exact same mistakes that my parents made.
Absolutely. And again, just like you can find a little bit of yourself in all of this. Like for me, even if you do have parents that are still married, I mean, you were there to witness their fights, their therapy, the way they treat each other. And like, maybe you want to be like, I want to find someone exactly like my dad because I loved the relationship, and you can mirror that. Or you can be like, okay, like I didn't like the way, I don't like this personality aspect of my mom or of my dad. And you're like, I'm going to look for the opposite. Like, so it is kind of cool to like look at your childhood and look at your parents and how you can, you know, take that into your relationships and dating experiences.
Absolutely. Wait, did you say that you were one of those three? Do you think?
I think I definitely, when I was single,
because there was romanticizer, maximizer, and hesitator.
I think I'm definitely a combo of the maximizer and the hesitator.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember being single thinking like, oh, I don't feel like my best self. like, I'm going to definitely just like work on myself for a bit. I don't know if that was so much so like someone else would validate me, or if like I personally felt like not, I was up to my potential because I'm a perfectionist, yeah. You know? So I'm not sure if it really had to do with like, I need to wait for myself to be primed to date someone, or if I just wanted to be prime.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But in my relationship, yeah, I mean, I think no matter what relationship you're in, like, I'm extremely happy. Like, beginning phases, obviously, you're still, like, a little bit of the honeymoon. And
totally.
But no matter where you're at in a relationship, I do think there's always stuff that you're like, oh, I wish they would have, you know, said it this way. Or I wish the gift, like, them doing a little acts of service would have been this. Or I think there's, like, certain things. You can always romanticize your relationship a little bit more. But I think what's important is the intention behind it, really. Totally. So like, Plan Daddy will try, like, he'll be like, I have a surprise, you know, and maybe it's not like my ideal surprise, but it's like the thought behind it that absolutely. I always go back to.
Yeah.
What about you, Ben?
Ben, do you have one?
I would say I'm the same thing, but I'm a hesitator, not in necessarily like self-image, but in like where I want to be in life.
Oh,
I've gotten to this place, but like I have so many more higher ambitions, and I need to kind of like, I have to remind myself like that's always going to be the case, and I need to find somebody who like understands that and is willing to like compliment
grow with you, compliment it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting sometimes how we like use that validation as like a dollar amount of like a, or like a job title that we'll have, like when there's just going to be more money and more job titles after that. Like,
and what's also
very interesting.
What's also fucked up is I feel like a lot of times guys in like in society, men are able to be like, I'm single since till I'm 40 years old. Like, because they spent this time building their careers. But for women to do that, it is a little different.
And it's like you run the risk of, which we can get into it another time, but like, you know, your eggs don't last forever. Mm-hmm. That is science. Like, yeah. it's risky, right? Like a little bit. You feel like that risk, but the minute you feel that pressure is when you
freeze
end up
your
like
eggs.
You, well, A, freeze your eggs if you can, but you're like, you get that pressure and you get that tunnel vision, I think. And it's like, oh my God, my one goal. I have to go get that one
you
goal.
You get the tunnel vision and you just then all of a sudden are dating and trying to push for things. And then every guy is scared of you because you're like so goddamn needy.
And you're not being you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm for sure the maximizer, 100%. 100%. Like, oh, if they just did this, like, oh, then it would all be good. Like, I'm totally like that. I think it's a trait that comes from my childhood. So I'm working on it. I see it at least. You know what I mean? I know it's there. That's what matters is like, you just work on it. You just got to try to be better when you're doing it. It's hard though. I won't lie. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, is this an end all be all?
Yeah, exactly. I also think back to like dating with the requirements, just remember that like none of us are perfect, not even you. So you have like this ideal person in your head, like that they're liberal. They're this tall. Their family's still together. They don't have divorced parents. They do this. You know, it's like you have all these things, but think about your own, you know, life and like how you portray yourself. Like there's things we're all working on. So don't have that image in your head. So there's no reason if you're not perfect that you expect your partner to be.
Absolutely.
Relationships are about compromise and growing together. So having this more relaxed, balanced, and flexible, you know, dating life, I feel like that's kind of how you nurture and strengthen your bond with someone in general anyways.
Absolutely. And it's about like, how do you nurture the mistakes that are being made in a relationship or like when you're trying to like start seeing somebody?
Yeah.
If let's say the mistake gets blown out of proportion, it's not like a huge mistake. I'm not talking like somebody cheating or something like that. It's something that could be maybe worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's going to happen forever. So the way you react to something, it's a tall tale sign of like how you're going to react further. Like you got to get better. Like,
yeah,
if you react poorly and you guys are like really at each other's throats right away and that's your like, you know, confrontation styles, probably not a good one to move forward with because it just gets harder as like more responsibilities get put on your shoulders.
Also think about going on a date with someone sitting across from you, knowing that they had one in their profile about how tall someone is and you're shorter, or knowing that they had in their profile or that they have all these expectations of you. Think of how uncomfortable you are. Like you immediately already create a wall between the two of you without even getting to know each other.
Well,
so
it's like a thing that you can't control. Like for instance, like what if he was like a boob guy and you don't have any boobs? Like,
yeah.
Like and if you knew that and they were like, I only like boob girls.
And you're literally sitting there with like concave
and I'm like,
tits.
I can't give you that. But you're still sitting here. Like, what the hell? I feel weird. I would immediately know.
Like, also, it keeps you from like living in the moment with the person when you're always just thinking of what could be better.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. I really like this topic. This is a really freaking good topic.
I think everyone needs to listen to this episode twice.
I'm not kidding. I'm like,
we're going to send this shit out to everyone.
Oh my God. when you feel like you got to toot your horn.
Toot, 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 toot. We should send this to Wizard.
Oh my God, Wizard and, Radio.
By the way, we're in a, this is a fun fact.
What?
So we signed with like a company, Wizard Radio, yeah. and they play our podcast in London on a radio station. Isn't that sick?
It's kind of insane to think about. I'm like, oh my God, people are hearing it. Well, if you're over here in London and you're hearing this eventually, hello.
That's she does an accent. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sophie. I have a straight kind of moment for you.
I'm pretty good at that. Very nice. I hope, I mean, I'm usually really bad. I'm not the judge of this, though. So I'm like,
they're like, this girl sucks at her accents.
Okay. I'm ready for your straight kind of moment.
So, straight kind of moment written in by a listener.
Okay.
She goes, so I went on, this is related to the topic, which is why I thought it would be great to share.
Okay.
So, I went on my first ever Hinge date because I've been trying that single shit. Oh, how we love it. Anyways, he told me to come over to his house first before the date because his family was having a chill barbecue and we were going to have a beer with his family before we went out to dinner. So I arrive and I walk around back to meet his family. First of all, shoot me, first date, already meeting his family, but the barbecue felt chill and like a casual vibe. So I decided to just go. So I say hi to his family and definitely notice some tension. His sister was really, really standoffish. She barely said hi or even made eye contact with me. Weird. Later on the date, I mentioned to my date that the tension I felt because your girl doesn't hide her feelings, and I thought it was so weird, so I decided to bring it up in the car ride. He briefly explained that his family was a little upset that he had just broken it off with his previous girlfriend that his family adored. Apparently, they are really good family friends, and that they were a little surprised that I was dating again. So I obviously did some digging to see if I was cooler than his ex, duh. And, well, his sister that was at the barbecue that wouldn't make eye contact with me, yeah, remember her? That wasn't his fucking sister. It was his goddamn ex.
She was at the barbecue? They invited...
So they're the, like they're family friends. And so she literally, on the first day, she went up. The girl was there with...
Cringe.
Isn't that horrible?
Cringe. Cringe. You know what though? I had a family in high school that they were that close, and this would have totally been their like reality. Like they would have totally had like a double family barbecue and the girl would have came. Oh, that's bad. That's bad.
Like the ex was just hanging out with his fam.
I love that she like what she introduced herself as a sister or something, just so she can hang out a little longer.
Maybe the girl just thought it was her sister.
Yeah, probably. It was the drama, so drama.
Doubt she's gonna see him again.
Yeah, bye. I would not be going on a second date with that little.
No thanks.
Also, give me a warning.
Yeah, right.
Jeez, you obviously knew she was gonna be there. God damn.
I wonder if he did it specifically so that she'd see it. Like that's what's going through my head. Is he's like, I mean, that just sounds like a bonfire. So it sounds like it was intentional.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. He was like, she's going to see what I'm doing now because I broke it off. Like a little in your face.
Keep writing into straight candid moments, y'all.
We love you. I have actually a straight candid advice that somebody wrote in. So let's I think we should do it real quick. Okay. So I almost said the person's name. That was really close. Okay. I need some candid advice. Back in the dating scene in my late 20s, and for the most part, all of the first dates have been just drinks and to meet and then dinner and second dates. This guy has been asking me for a few weeks now, but my schedule is crazy. And to be honest, I wasn't immediately feeling him, but thought, well, no one that I have immediately been into has worked out thus far, LOL. So I went on the first date to sushi with this guy, and he was nice, but just he didn't immediately jump to grab the bill, but then again, neither did I, LOL. He ended up paying, and now I'm feeling guilty for not like knowing I don't want a second date with him. Do I Venmo him?
Oh.
My friend said no, but I feel guilty.
Absolutely not.
I say no.
Absolutely not.
I say no. You can really, if you need to, you can offer it if you really wanted to. If you're like me, where your like guilty gut is going to get you.
I would offer, and if he said yes, ghost. Just kidding. But.
Oh, me as the dude, I would say no. Even if like getting that money back would still be kind of like, damn, like you almost just like tried to reject
that.
More. Yeah, yeah.
You're at least enjoy the time that we had together and like, let's just leave it at that.
And you know what? Guys expecting going into a date, they need it. I mean, they should expect that. Like, yes, you should pick up the bill on the first date, at least offer to. Like if she's like, no, I insist on going halvesies. I'll tell you one thing. I remember going on dates, and if I halfway through the date absolutely knew I wasn't going to go on a second date, I would do my absolute goddamn best to split that bill in half.
The middle.
But I also don't think if they picked up the bill and then you decide later, like, you know what? I wasn't that into him. No.
I think whoever asks the person on the date maybe is the one that does it, especially for the first one. And then you go every other, you know what I mean? Whatever. But I would say, honey, just leave it alone. Just say, be honest with them. Say it wasn't like the best Oh, whoops. I was going to say best match, not best date. That sounded like I was going to say wasn't the best date I've ever had. Like, okay, a-hole. And just leave it at that. Don't pay him. Like, oh my God. Awkward. Okay. Little something, something for you. Then we can get the heck out of here.
Let's hear it.
Summer's here. The sun is shining and your man's balls are smoother than Timothée Chalamet's chest. Picture yourself all cheeked up on the beach this summer with not a hair in sight peeking from your bikini line and his trunks. Skip the Brazilian this summer and use Manscaped for the smooth tools you trust for your man and yourself. Make this summer smooth and fresh with Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 featuring the trimmer everyone loves, the Lawnmower 4.0. Dive headfirst into summer by joining the 4 million people worldwide who trust Manscaped, and get ready for hot girl summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code CANDID20.
The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything you and your man need to perfect that summer bod. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0,
Weed whacker,
ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver and ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag for anywhere you're going this summer.
Holy hell.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CANDID20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code CANDID20 at manscaped.com. Buns out, sun's out this summer with Manscaped, ladies.
Remember when I put ball deodorant on my armpits and I've been wearing it? Silly me. I should have known it was for your balls.
But it was pretty good, right?
But it was pretty good. It worked, at least. I wasn't chafing.
Yep, there we go.
What else do we have to say? We love you guys. Keep writing shit in, please. Yeah. Straight candy moments, straight candy advice. We love hearing it. We love helping. And if you have a dream guest that you have A, either connection with, or B, just want to see us try to get on the podcast, send it to us. We'll be listening. We're waiting for it.
Let us know.
At Candid Sid.
At Candid Soph.
And at Ben Sorbacher.
And at Straight Candid Podcast on Instagram and TikTok.
Check us out. We do some funny stuff. If you haven't seen us slap each other with a tortilla yet, it's your time.
Yeah. And please subscribe on YouTube if you haven't. Last but not least, please, you guys, you've been slacking.
Slack.
Write us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Because we love you and you hopefully maybe love us if you made it all the way here. Okay. I love you. Seriously. I'm happy to be here. 80th episode feels pretty fucking good. So
yeah, I like that point. If you've made it to what? How far are we?
How far are we in this? If you're still here.
About like an hour and two.
Yo, hey. If you're still here an hour and two and you haven't left a review on Apple Podcasts, I will find you.
I'll find you. I will kill you.
Like, no, Okay. Actually, like, we know who listens, so watch out.
Just kidding. But we love you guys. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your week or wherever you're listening from. We loves ya.
Love you. Bye. Bye.